Ultra, official beer sponsor of the Milwaukee Bucks. Enjoy a Michelob Ultra at Deer Camp in Milwaukee, Champs in Brookfield, Club Paragon in Greenfield, and Magoo's on the Mound in Milwaukee. Please enjoy responsibly.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Kyle Wallace. Right now, buy two windows, get two free, and 36 months of 0% financing plus a bonus $500 off. Restrictions apply. Call 414-410-2000. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
It's ESPN Milwaukee's Brad Nortman here with some exciting news from my friends at Bank 5-9. Not only have they been named a top workplace for 16 straight years, but they've just won the prestigious Community Choice Award as the best bank in the Milwaukee area. Honestly, I'm not surprised. Not only do they have great products and services, but they truly live out their mission to make lives better. If you're looking for a true local community bank, check out the best. Visit bank59.com to learn more today. Member FDIC.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know you love working weekends. If it means working on your dream home, both inside and out. And we're here to help protect those dreams so you can enjoy peace of mind. Save up to 40% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Some exclusions apply. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Starting to see some delays. Westbound 94 now from 35th Street all the way to Mitchell Boulevard. Eastbound is slowing down from before Holly Road all the way through the stadium as well. Southbound on 41, backing up from the county line to Good Hope Road. Back on the brakes from Silver Spring down past Hampton. Northbound has heavy traffic from Mayfair Road up to Burleigh. So far, so good on 43 north and southbound. Nothing major there. And checking the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast today. Mostly sunny and windy. A high of 58. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low of 38. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lazaga on 94.5 ESPN.
Tune in to KBN every day at 2 o'clock. 94.5 ESPN is WKTI and WKTI 8.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The extra rusher is coming in on the rush here. Young throws it quick. End zone shot. Picked off. McKinney kept the feet in bounds. So they get a 3rd and 12 here. He's going to do it again. Deep shot. That ball is pulled in. Christian Watson taking the top off. Toss, Dowdle, knifing through for the touchdown, and the Panthers take the lead on the road. Love on the move. Nothing downfield. Making the moves to the near side. Jordan Love, eyes up, arms waving, lofts it up there. Oh, that's picked nearly by Mike Jackson. It's dropped. It's Carolina ball regardless. Hold is down. The kick is up. Into the wind. It is good! Ryan Fitzgerald delivers. And the Panthers, a 2-touchdown underdog.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
She's running her mouth, she wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever, she's too excited, her man looks like he wanna fight, he ain't doing nothing but running his mouth, talk about it, we all
well, not to be dramatic,
plans. We sit and our stack just like
but that was just the worst. Not a single good thing happened on the field at Lambeau Field for the Packers on Sunday, as the Packers lose 16-13. To the Panthers. Hands down, no question, no debate, worst game of the season, and I'll tell you why. Not only did they lose, which, woof, but they lost at home. So that whole Lambeau mystique thing, I know we've talked about it here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Where is it? I don't know. You lose ground in the NFC because you got Philadelphia, you got Tampa Bay, and you got Seattle all now with a better win percentage in the conference. You lose momentum headed into that huge Monday Night Football matchup against the Eagles. And I know there are people out there who say that momentum doesn't exist, but you're wrong. And for the cherry on top of the totally craptastic Sunday, and I don't mean Sunday as in day of the week. You likely lost Tucker Kraft, your best offensive weapon, to a significant injury, possibly season ending. Did I miss anything, folks?
Matthew Golden got hurt as well. Mike Parsons didn't have a pressure for the first time in his career against an offensive line that was as beat up as an offensive line can be. Other than that, no, I think we're good.
Covered
missed
all.
A field goal, so you know, just windy. sprinkle in some special teams malfeasance in there as well.
We will get to that, Shoe. What was the most frustrating part?
Teams win in all three phases. The Packers lost in all three phases.
What was the most frustrating part for you, Chu?
The frustrating part, and I've never had a loss that bad at Lambeau against a bad team.
It's the worst loss since the merger, by the way.
Yeah.
Packers' worst loss since the merger.
It's almost like you wake up in the morning and you can't snap out of it. And what I mean by that is you could tell they were flat. You could just tell they were flat. There's no flying around. There's no energy. The defense sucked. Even though they didn't put up a bunch of yards, I mean, you were in position to make plays on third down and you didn't make them. Carrington Valentine, when Tet McMillan pulled that one away from him, you got to knock that down or you got to pick it. It was in your hands. Just a lot of little crap. And then Jordan making his bonehead moves. And I'm as guilty as anyone. We got to stop crowning these guys after one game. Because I was talking, last week, I forget who I asked the question to. I'm like, well, should they start talking extension with Matt LaFleur? No. No. Enough of the Jordan MVP talk. Stack some games together. It's just, I don't know what the hell that was. But I felt like I was in a, woke up and I can't snap out of it. That's how bad
like
it was.
Like a fever dream.
Additionally, I know the Green Bay Packers social media team has a job to do. All right, they got stuff they got to do. Maybe, just maybe, we hold off on the happy birthday Tucker Kraft post with him getting poured on with water bottles after winning a game when we're all waiting for the is he out for the season news.
Well, yesterday they said, hope everybody has a good time at Jordan Love's birthday party or something along those lines, and they were referring to the game, and if that was a party, take me off the list. I don't want to be invited to those kind of parties anymore. I think the most frustrating part for me, Chu, is I understand what you're saying about not crowning this team, but you have seen flashes of greatness. You have seen stretches that get your hopes up about a deep playoff run, about an NFC championship, hell, about a Lombardi. Forget all that for now. You're right, because given the opportunity to stack success, which is what they had yesterday, an opportunity to stack success, build momentum going into a big matchup against the Eagles on Monday Night Football, big audience, all eyes, et cetera, you turtle. You crap down your leg. It was infuriating. It was embarrassing. And it makes you feel dumb, like you were saying, for having had any of those thoughts that you mentioned after the win against the Steelers. Gabe, I'll go to you. The most frustrating thing about yesterday's loss to the Panthers.
They didn't learn a lesson from earlier this season. Yep. They because you were double-digit favorites against Cleveland or a touchdown favorite, whatever you were at Cleveland, and that went the way it went. And this is the youngest team in the NFL. Yeah, they've got some experience, but one word I heard Tausch throw out yesterday was immature. Like, this was an immature loss by this team. And you didn't learn a lesson. I don't know why you refused to learn the lesson, whether that's coaching staff, players, combination of both, but you had an opportunity to go, okay, yes, we lost to Cleveland, but we learned our lesson of how we properly prepare when we know we're better than someone. And we can go out there, take care of our business, handle our business, and we can be a team that even though we're young, we can be trusted. No. And that's where I think everything comes into play here. Like, that's a team, a veteran team doesn't lose that game yesterday. But because the Packers also insist upon being the youngest team in the league and then refusing to learn lessons as the youngest team in the league, because that's supposed to be the advantage. That's what Brian Gutekunst has told everybody. Like, oh, okay, yes, we go through growing pains early, but by the time we get to that second half of the season, they've learned some things, they're getting better. Well, you learned that, did not learn the lesson the first time around in Cleveland, had to learn it again against Carolina. And even if they go out and do what seems impossible right now, beating the Philadelphia Eagles, who just continue to collect players in trades. They got another one today. Okay, great, you beat the Eagles. All right, who's to say you're not going to stub your toe against one of those other teams that you're going to be favored by a bunch down the stretch because you refuse to learn the lesson of how to get yourself ready against inferior opponents?
Look, people are reacting this morning to 800-990-3776. We want your calls. We want your texts. We want your YouTube comments. They are coming in so fast and furious. I can barely keep up reading them and then holding them to get them on the line. But I will mention this one by John. The Love-LaFleur combination doesn't work. LaFleur has his nose buried in the play sheet, so he has no game awareness. Love shows no leadership towards his teammates, and he can't throw a deep ball. I would argue he can throw the deep ball. The problem is the Panthers came in and said, we're going to put those two safeties back there. We're going to take away the deep ball from you, so go ahead and try to dink and dunk us to death. And unfortunately, the Packers were unable to do that. There was a lack of rhythm offensively. We have talked at times about sequencing and the way that you set something up for early to set it up later in the game. We also talked about the weather. Pam Oliver let us know very early in the broadcast that the weather was going to play a factor. So where was the Matt LaFleur big picture, which is at some point in this game, we're going to have to go against the wind, Bob Seger. And at some point, we're going to need to make sure that we've got a big enough lead on this team that stretch, when we're trying to throw into the wind, isn't going to keep us from winning this game. And it feels like he missed the boat on that as well, right? It feels like he missed the boat on that big picture. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm watching videos of the flags just whipping in the wind over there going, man, it's going to be real hard to throw the ball when you're headed that direction. So you're going to have to be on the ground. Now you've lost the advantage of predictability. And it was all of those things that I wonder sometimes if they sail over Matt LaFleur's head. 800-990-3776. Plenty of reaction to get to this morning. Keep it coming on the Carbless Talk and text line. Keep it coming on the YouTube stream. What irritated you most, Gabe, about this loss?
Yeah, and again, it's just the youth of this team continuing to show itself, and Matt LaFleur just... between him and Jordan Love, just not having any patience whatsoever. Because they like you said, they just, okay, we're going to put these safeties back here. All right, you got to throw underneath. Got to throw underneath. And they just, either it's going to be a screen behind the line of scrimmage, or they want to chuck it 25 to 30 yards down the field. There wasn't really much in between. While, you know, you could constantly kind of run little 5-7 yard routes, get those, try to make somebody miss, and maybe try to make a big play that way. But they just refused to even take what was being given to them yesterday. And I think if they just show that patience, take what's given to them, death by a thousand cuts, eventually the Panthers are going to be pulled out of what they were trying to do. And you're going to walk away winners yesterday. But that, the decision-making, we haven't talked about 4th and 8. And deciding to go for it.
Well, it's only 10 minutes into the show. We've got time.
Oh. his fourth down decision-making is like flipping a coin. There's no rhyme or reason to seemingly any of it, because he wanted to kick a field goal at Arizona when it's 4th and 2 and wanted to kick then. But now when it's 4th and 8 at the 13-yard line, okay, we're going to go for it in this situation. Okay, all right. When to win the game, you needed 2 scores. Like, to win that game, you needed 2 scores, and your defense was getting stops. Like, it's not like your defense, you gave up 16 points yesterday. I know I brought up the Micah Parsons thing, but you give up 16 points in an NFL game, you feel pretty good about your chance
and
to win that
game. And Micah Parsons said something similar after the game as well. You know, it's like, basically, to your point, like, when you hold them, there should be. But he actually thought that the defense did not play up to snuff as well, and I tend to agree with that. Lots of reaction rolling in. Ronnie in the 262 says, worst loss in Jordan Love's career. Blown opportunity with the Lions losing as well. This team is way too inconsistent. Far from being a real Super Bowl contender, anybody that loses to a Bryce Young quarterback team cannot be taken seriously. Meanwhile, Kevin says the coaching team did not prepare them for the game. The blame falls on LaFleur's shoulders. That from Kevin in Racine. Let's go out to the phone line. Caleb in Horicon, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What irritated you the most about the loss to the Panthers?
I think it's just, you know, there's a high variance with this football team, and it ultimately just comes back to coaching. I mean, Matt LaFleur has done this more than once. His two of his worst losses in his career have come against these inferior teams, the Browns and the Panthers. I just, there's a reason Ed Policy has not extended this guy, and it's disgraceful. I mean, it's been a common theme, penalties, special teams, bad game management. I mean, I don't know. Matt LaFleur, like, he is, you can't fire him because that's what bad teams do, but, I mean, that's just unacceptable. It really is unacceptable.
Well, letdown games and trap games fall on the head coach. And you call this game whatever you want, because he's got to get his team prepared. And I've said it a million times. We would get yelled at more the week of playing a bad team than we would a good team. That was just Holmgren's way of making sure we are prepared to play. And they weren't, so it falls on him. I didn't listen to his press conference. Did he take any accountability?
Oh, the same way he always does, Chew.
That's on me. That's on me. First and foremost, yeah. That's on me.
Yeah, it's the same way he always does. It's the same. It was the Matt LaFleur greatest hits channel during his press conference.
Now, I will say this, and I'm not pressing the panic button. I mean, Kraft, we'll see what happens there. All right? But if I told you guys, okay, of these two games, Carolina and Philadelphia, you only win in one, which one would you choose? You would choose Philadelphia, because if you beat the Panthers, it tells you absolutely nothing. Right? The fact that they lost is ridiculous. But if they come to ready to play next week and they beat Philly, okay, this is a game you'll forget. Okay, so it's still a lot of football left.
I don't know about that, Chew. Like, the Browns game, I'd be willing to forget. It would be one you forgot. Because, again, you went and you beat the Panthers. You learned that lesson. You've shown that you're mature enough as a team to be able to handle going into games playing teams that you think that you're better than. Like, the fact that you can lose that game on a moment's notice, like, it doesn't give me any sort of hope that this team is going to be able to win multiple games really good teams in a postseason format.
Gabe, I can tell you on Monday, you know, and it's only been, what, less than 24 hours? I'm picking them to beat Philly. Just psychologically, there's something about I am picking them to beat Philly. I can tell you that on Monday. Tucker Kraft be damned. Whether he's, you know, obviously he's not going to play, but if it's an ACL or whatever, I'm picking them to win. They will win. So I'm not pressing the panic button.
Reaction rolling in, and if you're watching on the YouTube stream, you're seeing it. It's just pop, 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 pop. Everybody wants to get their thoughts in. Everybody wants to get their comments in. And I do think that there are a lot of people who are saying that Matt LaFleur should be on the hot seat. Marco says he should definitely be on the hot seat now. If the Packers don't make the playoffs, he should be fired the next day. Totally undisciplined. Too many penalties. And after the first two games, the defense is non-existent. That from Chef Ed. Now, I do think that the defense played okay. I also think that weather was a factor. I think that that contributes to a sloppy game. But it was very obvious early on that the recipe, the blueprint for how a two-score underdog team goes in and upsets the home team, that was starting to happen, right? You were seeing the early penalties from the Green Bay Packers. They commit the turnover in the red zone. They're 1 of 5 in the red zone. They're not tackling well. You miss the field goal, and it's starting to feel Freaky Friday, right? It's starting to feel Haunted House-esque. And that's when I was like, oh, no. This thing is trending in the direction of the Panthers leaving here with a victory. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened yesterday at Lambeau Field. 800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction. Lars in the 920 says LaFleur needs to give up play calling duties immediately. If he spent as much time game planning, I'm not going to say that. This game is 100% on him, and I am sick of his excuses. People are clearly fired up. People are clearly upset. Get us your reaction. You know, do you have issues with Matt LaFleur's play calling?
But the problem is, Jen, who do you go to? There's no one on the staff that Stenovich has never called plays. I mean, you can't give him, you know, the reins right out of the gate when he's never done it before. I mean, calling plays is an art. What did you just say?
What?
Getsy around?
Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Chicago wasn't enough for you?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Why am I blanking? The next thing, Josh is going to be calling for the guy that left to go be the head coach in Denver.
Oh, Haskell.
Yeah.
Haskell. It starts with an H.
Hackett.
Yeah, didn't he follow Aaron Rodgers? Isn't he back?
I think he is.
Yeah, isn't Hackett like on the staff?
I knew he was briefly. I don't know if he still is.
Let's go back out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776.
But no, I don't want him calling plays, Josh.
Alan in Milwaukee, you're up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What irritated you most about the loss?
I don't know. I missed something, so I don't know. Maybe somebody just said what I was about to say. But I was going to say that I think the clear and obvious thing is that the play calling has kind of gotten stale. So maybe, you know, like a good leader that knows how to delegate, maybe LaFleur should let go of that and let somebody else at least call the plays. If not bringing, you know, another coordinator with a different offense, but at least let go of the play calling so somebody with a fresh look at the same plays can call different stuff. Because looking at the last few games, the offense being extremely slow, I think it comes down to people have the book on it now.
800-990-3776. Thanks for the call, Alan. This reaction from Ann is interesting because this is how I feel. Matt LaFleur has amazing talent around him. We should have more wins and more championships. He needs to be fired. Now, I don't necessarily know if we're at the firing stage, but I agree that when you look at this team to a man, there is enough talent for them to be a top team in the NFC. So where is the disconnect? We'll discuss that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When it comes to your home, the smart play, trusting Gina Della and her team at Pella. This month, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 72 months. That's right, $297 a month up to 72 months with 0% interest. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping the drafts. So don't wait. Trust Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin the way so many of us, including me, have done that right here at ESPN Milwaukee. Schedule your free consultation today, PellaWI.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size.
It's just,
what the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Kind of anticipated this kind of going in regards to how they needed to play in order to beat us, and they did exactly what they needed to do.
Does that make anyone feel better? We got our asses kicked, but we saw it coming? we kind of expected this. This is how we expected them to play. And you couldn't stop it? You didn't scheme or game plan to be able to stop what you anticipated? Again, I don't know if that's helping Matt LaFleur. 800-990-3776, your reaction all morning long to a Packers 16-13 loss to the Panthers at Lambeau Field yesterday. Woof. We'll go out to Marshall in Milwaukee. He's been waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Marshall. What irritated you the most about the loss?
Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me. There's four basic things, and I'll be quick as possible. Matt LaFleur, I don't think he should be fired. I think we've gotten spoiled as Packer fans. However, I know you mentioned talent. Yeah, there's talent on the team, but there's a lot of teams in the NFL that are doing well that don't have that much talent. Example of that is Indy, Indianapolis. The other thing is penalties. Penalties were just a problem, and that's part of coaching. Another thing is defense. I think they're scheming against the defense, and they haven't come up with a plan. That's one thing. And one thing I don't hear a lot of people talking about is I believe, and it started in the Arizona game, the defense just got tired. You know, it was hot down there. They were in the dome, and they just got tired. And I think that's what they're going through now is the offense is not putting up long drives more consistently. And then the last thing, I mentioned it, and that was a scheming. I just want to hear your comments, please.
I mean, it was clear yesterday there was no Micah Parsons effect. Not to him. Look, Micah, you're going to get double-teamed on every play. You're that good of a player. It's just, where's everybody else? Where's everybody else? And they lost this game. What was a big contributor is they rushed the ball for 163 yards. You know? And they made plays when they had to. It just felt like they couldn't get off the field. It's not that their coverage was horrible. It's just someone's got to make a damn play.
Well, but the problem, Chu, is there were plays that were made, right? Like I keep remembering, I keep replaying in my head that 51-yard completion to Christian Watson, and it's when I tweeted, this team has the potential to have that type of electric play every single week. The problem is they don't stack it. Right, you have a play like that, and then you end up one for five in the red zone yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's so frustrating, is the ability to sequence your way not only to the end zone, but to be able, when your back's against the wall late in a game like that, you should be able to step on the throat and win that game. And they just don't seem to have that gene right now.
And that's the weird part, is that they didn't punt yesterday. They did not punt at all yesterday. They were able to move the football. Like, they were able to get the ball down into the red zone. And that's the weird part, right? Like, oh, this offense, like, they were able to get the ball inside the 20, and then once they get there, they just don't have a plan unless Josh Jacobs finds a way to run the ball into the end zone.
Until that final red zone sequence, they had negative yardage in the red zone with penalties.
Yeah, because, and again, so you were able to move the ball, like
you
said. They had that great play. Because, Chewy, I know one of your favorite things to do is look at that team box score.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. Packers at 21st down, 7 of 13 on third down, 369 yards of offense, 265 yards passing, almost 6 yards per play. Like, these are all, like, holistically good numbers. But then when you get down to the 1 for 5 in the red zone, it's because you weren't able to put the ball into the end zone when you got down in that area.
Seven penalties for 42 yards.
Yeah.
And Chewy, to your point that you have made about a Matt LaFleur-led offense, a Jordan Love-led offense, they leaned on the pass. 37 attempts to the 25 rushing attempts. Like, you have said that they need to be a more pass-heavy team because they need to trust Jordan Love. It seems like they tried to do that, but with the devil is in the details. You know what I mean? And that's where I feel like this team is really struggling right now, is in the details. We got lots of callers lined up. Let's get to the next one. Scott in North Carolina, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What irritated you most about the loss yesterday?
Hey, morning, guys. First-time caller. Born in Manitowoc, raised in Appleton. I live in North Carolina, Menasha High School graduate. The big thing for me is, as I've been hearing the emotion behind our Packers, is I look back at the Seattle game that was the imposter game to me, and then the chances at NFC Championship that we should have had at least two more Super Bowls. That means Rodgers retires. He's not a Jet. He's not a Steeler. So that brought the sense of urgency. If there were seven trophies behind those glass, we don't get Michael Parsons. There'd be no need for it. Mm-hmm. And then looking at the comments here, I look at Matthew Golden. What an incredibly skilled player and talent, where he only gets two targets a game. Christian Watson is a speed burner, and on the pass he did get, he was 3 yards ahead of the defensive back. So they can play their two shells if you want to, because he's got the speed to beat him. He only gets one target a game, maybe two. I don't think he's used enough. They should scheme him open. I see no crossing routes. Also, too, what was glaring, when I look at the four or five other running backs in the league that are very quick, I think Buffalo and Carolina, it looks like Josh Jacobs has actually gotten slower. Why does it take so much time for him to get through a hole? If you're looking at the basics and the standards here, I think there's a big drop-off. And I think, yes, Matt LaFleur should be on the hot seat. NFL is a high standard of playing football. You're held accountable for that. And I think Ed Policy sees that. And I look at the body language from him, if they show him, he's taking notes. He's responsible for the success of the team. I could see him being gone. Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate the call. I did see someone weigh in, and of course now I got to scroll my way through this. But somebody on the Carbless Talkin' text line said that some of this is about the Packers not having an owner. And that if you have an owner steps in and says, here it is, guy from Staten Island. The owner steps in, he would say, Matt LaFleur is not calling plays anymore. And another thing, put McManus on IR, use the other kicker until he's 100% healthy.
I don't think that's what you actually want, though. Because owners that dictate, you know, the owner that dictates who calls plays, the owner that dictates who does that, that's Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And everybody clowns on Jerry. Like, you want an owner that does remove himself the way that Bob, again, because that's the way it used to be in the 70s and 80s, too, where the board would interject themselves in all this football stuff before Bob Harlan finally turned this thing around.
I do hope that there are certain situations, though, Gabe, where it's in case of emergency, break glass. And if you're not capable of being self-aware and making the call on your own, maybe you do need a higher authority to step in and say, have you thought about this? Have you considered this?
But I don't know, like, if... All right, for everybody who wants Matt LaFleur to no longer call plays, who's calling plays?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have anyone with...
Luke Getsy is the only one. Nathaniel Hackett, after some quick research,
no,
not on the staff.
Yeah,
so Luke Getsy is the only one who has that experience. And he's just a senior assistant. It's not like he's a positional coach. He's just a senior assistant hanging around the staff right now who was so bad at calling plays that he got fired.
Yesterday just felt like, too, I mean, I like Dobbs. Dobbs is a nice receiver, but he's not a number one. He's not explosive after the catch. And the targets were he had 10 targets. And the next close receiver was 4 with Christian Watson. It's just, he's like a possession receiver.
Well,
he's
Golden
nice.
Went out with injury, and then, of course, Kraft went out with injury.
Yeah, I think that
so
had
think
a lot
that
to
that
do with
that probably skewed those numbers.
Yeah.
And look,
I mean,
and again, going back to Matt LaFleur, like we're stuck with him for this year. Like they're not going to change play callers at this point. And as long as he's the head coach, he's going to be the play caller. I think that's just kind of the way it is.
I did notice you said the word stuck there, which doesn't feel like the best way to be addressing the guy right now.
Sure.
I think it's like he said it there. They did what they had to do to beat us, and then we let them do it, basically. And for whatever reason, they don't get out to fast starts, and they don't stick it to them the best.
Which is wild, because the first two games, they couldn't have started faster.
The best.
Like, through two games, it's like, oh my God, this team scores so much in the first half.
And just for context, Joshy, I believe you dropped it into the group text chain yesterday. Packers' first half points in their last six games, 3, 13, 10, 6, 7, 6. They trailed the Panthers 7-6 at the half when that was posted by Matt Schneidman of The Athletic.
The best way for this Packers team to win and to beat a team that's going to run the ball, you know you have a weakness on the run defense after trading Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt dropping out. Guess the best way to stop a run game. Don't let them run because you're up 14. And the Packers refused to do it despite that glaringly obvious thing that would change the dynamic of the game. Refused to.
Yeah, but the first half was the defense's. I mean, they let those two long drives, and the time of possession was
out. 7 points!
Yeah,
and I know.
They also,
but still, the offense wasn't on the field.
They also turned the ball over because they're insisting Savion Williams needs to be on the field, despite being only a gadget player. And he deserves touches on the first drive for some reason.
Well, and so that's what I wanted to get to when I was talking about the comment from Ann earlier in the show where she was talking about talent. I think they have talent. I think they have a lot of talent. I think Jordan Love, where you want to slide him here because of yesterday's inconsistency, but there were people, I believe it was Greg Olsen on the broadcast in the first quarter talking about how he thought Jordan Love was a top five quarterback in the league after the Steelers game. Now, I think he also recalibrated that as the game went on, if I'm remembering correctly some of the comments he made. But you start going down the list, guys, and we'll talk about defense. Xavier McKinney, Micah Parsons, Edgerrin Cooper, Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Rashawn Gary, when obviously paired with Micah Parsons. That's talent. There's a lot of talent there. You look at the offense, obviously Jordan Love. Christian Watson is a weapon. Christian Watson is a dude. I agree with you, Chu. Get Christian Watson more involved in the offense. Because there's a part of me that, wasn't it one of the callers, Joshy, who said, go ahead and show us that too high safety look.
Right.
Christian Watson can beat it.
If
you know
there
when
is
I knew they were in trouble?
Then we need to start placing more of the blame on the players as well. Like, then if they're as talented as you're saying, Jen, then some of this falls on the players as well. Like, it's not just all on Matt LaFleur. Now, a big chunk of it falls on Matt. But if they're actually that talented, then you need to go out and execute better.
I mean, they lose two offensive, Carolina loses two offensive linemen.
Going in, I think they lost one or two more.
Throughout the course,
on the broadcast, Chu, just to give some context there, that they had like the most offensive linemen that had been rolled in at this point in the season in the league.
Yeah, and then you have one sack in the game, and that comes from your safety? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know what I knew? Not in trouble, but I was like, oh boy, this is going to be one of those games, is when McKinney hit Bryce Young, the fumble, and it just hops right up. And I don't know if it was Hubbard or their other back, and they turn it into a 10-yard game. When that stuff happens, it's like, oh boy,
we're
not going to have luck on our side today.
There was Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt staring at the ball on the ground first before Hubbard picked it up and advanced. I believe it was 6 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Let's get to one more call before we take a break here. Jason in Hale's Corner waiting patiently on the line. Good morning, Jason. What irritated you the most about the Packers' loss to the Panthers?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I could tell you that I was in school streaming the game, and it just felt like there wasn't enough gas in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if LaFleur always seems to have that Packers ready to go when it's a big game, you know, like when they were playing Pittsburgh, and, you know, it's Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love show, you know, and they end up winning. And then all of this next week, a team you're supposed to beat, supposed to. Well, it's the NFL. I don't know what's going on with the play calling. I did hear you guys mention Ed Policy, and Gabe, you're absolutely spot on when you say Ed Policy's up in that office, and he's watching. And I think that's why neither Gutekunst nor LaFleur have a contract yet. I think they're waiting and seeing about the play calling. It was just a horrendous game. And the last thing is this. Put McManus on IR. Give him some rest. The guy has a hamstring issue. That's what he uses to play the game, his hammies. He's got to kick a ball. Put that other guy in. I think it's Harvest Rick or something like that. The kid was great. Thank you for taking my call. You guys have a great day.
Gabe, quick reaction.
It's quad injury, yeah. First and yeah. foremost.
Hey, it's somewhere.
It's hey, somewhere in the
still
leg.
Still important for kicking.
Yeah. Upper leg, lower body, you know?
But I don't think that McManus missed the kick yesterday because his leg was injured. He just pulled it. He also made a 49-yarder. Like McManus.
Yeah, what was the other one that he barely snuck in there?
And
that,
the extra point. That was the extra point.
That was not confidence building.
Either he made it or he didn't. But I'm not expecting them to have two kickers on the roster after tomorrow. Because I'm guessing the Packers are trying to hold on to Haversick for as long as they possibly can to see if somebody will give them a conditional 7th-round pick. My guess is he'll probably be exposed to the waivers sooner rather than later. McManus is their guy. Whether you want him to be the guy or not, McManus is their guy, and that's just how they're going to move forward.
800-990-3776. That's the Carbless talk and text line, taking your reaction all morning long. What irritated you the most about the Packers' loss to the Panthers? Let us know. 800-990-3776. If you're looking to bring more organization and beauty to your home like I did, I can't recommend Closets by Design enough. I worked with Doug and his team in Mequon for the past few months. They helped me create a warm, incredible space for my closet. And I've told you guys this, right? I was dealing with a lot of anxiety when I'd go in there. A lot of clothes from 20 years in television. Admittedly, I had to get rid of a lot of things, but I just needed organization so I could find what I was looking for when I was looking for it. Closets by Design has been a leader in custom storage solutions since 1982. They combine quality, beauty, and a true commitment to customer satisfaction, and that's why I was so relieved to be working with a professional team like Closets by Design. If you're ready to get organized, call Closets by Design in Mequon and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview. The way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? I know you got holiday parties coming up. Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. And speaking of, I got to go to Lubbock, Texas this weekend. Can't get a flight into Lubbock, so I'm going to have to do the old O'Hare one way, Milwaukee the other way. Well, guess who I'm going to call to handle my transportation needs down to O'Hare? My friends at Accutrans, because booking is easy, it's safe, it's dependable. Visit their website, AccutransGroup.com. You'll get a quote and you can book a reservation today. AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation wherever you need to go.
You know, hindsight's 20/20. I wish we would have taken the points. Didn't do that there. Bad decision.
So I couldn't remember off the top of my head, because I'm not Gabe Neitzel, what the sequence of plays was after that Christian Watson 51-yard bomb, right? 3rd and 11. So I went back and looked. An illegal snap by Elgton Jenkins, a sack allowed by Jordan Morgan, a false start by Watson, and a drop third down screen. And what ended up happening, Gabe?
Field goal.
49-yard field goal by McManus. So, Chew, to your point, like, that was an explosive play. That was a, wow, look at this team. They're electric. They're explosive. And then, fart noise.
Yeah, the O-line, I don't think, played very well. Those were too costly. Holding penalties. What went right? Was there anything that went right?
Did I tell you about the 51-yard completion to Christian Watson in the middle of the field?
I mean, Josh Jacobs played well.
Yeah, he did.
87 yards, touchdown.
Yeah.
But, Gabe, you were also saying that, like, Josh Jacobs does not exist in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those unintended consequences. You add Josh Jacobs to the team, and what happens?
Well, they had to change the way they ran the football last year because he wasn't as comfortable running the ball the way that the typical, again, the Matt LaFleur schemes, the Shanahan McVay thing, and you know, you do the stretch zones. And the if you watched a Niners game, a Rams game, I mean, you're going to see a couple of times a game where they stretch outside right, roll back, flip it to the tight end of the flat, and it's an easy 6 to 10 yards. And I know, Chewy, you always talk about bread and butter plays. Like, that's been a bread and butter play mm-hmm. in this system that the Packers used to run, but because they had to change the way they ran the football with Josh Jacobs, I don't know if that's just made Matt LaFleur more uncomfortable with setting up some of the play-action stuff that they used to be able to do. And it just looks different now. So they can't run some of those bread and butters that go within this system. And maybe that's kind of thrown them for a loop.
Yeah,
of still trying to adjust a year later of how they had to run the football.
If Kraft is lost for the year, they may have to pivot back to that, though. Right?
Well, I mean,
I can't imagine they're going to change their entire run scheme because Tucker Kraft is out, right?
The run scheme is already what it is. Like, I don't think this
may have to go back to a run-heavy team.
Oh, sure. I mean, Chewy, I mean, they've been about as fit going into this game, they're about as 50-50 as you could get. I think they threw the ball 10 more times than they had run the ball going into the game yesterday.
800-990-3776. Ryan in Muskego says, guys, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. We have two burners on the outside in Watson and Golden, but Matt LaFleur refuses to get them involved early and often in the game. Instead, we have a love affair with Savion Williams and jet sweeps and screens and Dobbs, who is at most a possession receiver. Matt LaFleur has to get the ball in his playmakers' hands. This Kraft loss could prove to be catastrophic. 800-990-3776. Chris in Mosillo waiting patiently on the line to get his thoughts heard. What irritated you most about the Packers' loss, Chris?
Mostly LaFleur just keep going with those bubble screens to the wide receivers. They got positive yardage maybe twice out of, what, 10, 15 play calls? He ran the same play. And then he got him. He's supposed to be a head coach that's so smart, and you take points off the board by going for it on 4th and 8 instead of kicking a field goal. You got 11 minutes left in the game. You get the points, and you hope your defense holds. You get a touchdown to take the lead. That was just pure stupidity. And he just keeps running the same plays over and over again. You could tell Carolina in the first quarter had that play snuffed out, and he never changed from what he was doing. And then you've got Goody, which I love as a great GM, but it doesn't seem to me he knows how to draft offensive linemen that can go. Like, why didn't they draft a center in the second round this year after taking a tackle in the first round last year? Because Jenkins going to center, to me, is a bust. He's been giving up so much stuff up the middle, it's ridiculous. But then again, the left guard keeps getting injured, and they keep rotating in and out the right guard. There's no consistency. Oh, a couple plays Ryan's going to play, and a couple plays Morgan's going to play. Get your line. Chewy knows if you're going to work, get a line. If they're not hurt, keep your line consistent and let them all work together so they can gel. Because otherwise, they don't know what the heck they're doing. They keep missing blocks. Like yesterday, when the two linebackers from Carolina just came up the middle, they had a hole you could run a Mack truck to because Jenkins rolled to the left. He never even looked right for the guys coming up. And it was just like ridiculous. And Jenkins wasn't even blocking anybody. He even double teamed on the left side. They're just running up. They're losing their butts in the trenches. And that's where it hurts. I mean, you got rid of Clark and you got Wyatt, but Wyatt has got injury issues every year and they don't have anybody really, you know, to take Clark's place because they haven't drafted a single defensive tackle that's really stuck with the team and taken over.
Who is, Gabe, who's the backup center right now? It can't be Monk.
My guess would be Sean Ryan would slide in at center. He's done a little bit of it before, but Sean Ryan would be the guy.
Depending on Banks, would you move Elton back to guard? Let Ryan have a shot at center and then keep Morgan.
Man. Well, Ryan has a penalty problem.
He's got a hard enough time not playing when like
how having about the one hold. Did you see the one hold?
Unfortunately.
I'm like, okay, you're holding him for 9 seconds.
And then expecting the refs to be like, I didn't see it.
And what, like, what oh, hold? You. Yeah. Oh, God.
So I'm sitting here thinking about the red zone issues yesterday, and Chewy, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I think of like when he first got here, when Matt LaFleur first got here, and they had Nathaniel Hackett, and they were calling it the gold zone, and they set an NFL record for efficiency inside the red zone. Yes, you had two future Hall of Famers leading that, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. But even seeing Devontae, he had a touchdown yesterday in the red zone where it's just a simple little play where they know they can trust Devontae and they can throw it up and get him. And it's making me think more and more that once you get in the red zone, like, yes, you have to have some play calls, but you're not going to be able to scheme anybody open. The windows are tighter. Like, there's just not as much field to cover. So it comes down to having those truly special guys. And that's how you become efficient in the red zone. And this idea of, hey, we spread the ball around and get the ball to the open guy, I think that can work between the 20s. But once you get down inside the 20, you got to have your dogs that you just know, I'm going to be able to throw them the football, and they're going to make a play.
Well, no one's beating man. That's the problem. You know what I mean? They're just playing kind of a two-shell look. But the one to Dobbs, it's just you made no move, and you didn't beat him. The one that was right at the goalpost. It's like no one's helping him out, but, I mean, that's where you use. If they're going to play man, we used to do it back in the day. We would pick so much. It's only a pick if you get caught, okay? And if you pick real well, it's big, you know? I just don't.
But also, guys, there's a part winning. Of me. Guys aren't winning. Also, that is like Christian Watson's is 6 foot 42 inches or something like that. Right? Like, this is a big weapon that they should probably be using more frequently in the red zone. And I know they're still working him back from the ACL. I want to be conscious of that fact that you don't want to give him a full workload right now. But I still think that they're not using the weapons that they have effectively and accurately.
But he's never been a red zone, like, jump ball type guy.
Well, he's a jump ball guy, but it's like middle of the field. Like,
why don't we just give it a shot? How about that?
I mean, but
here's my idea.
What are our biggest complaints about Christian Watson?
Contested
catches.
It was until last season when he was doing them very well, and this season now when given limited opportunities, he's done both well.
Yeah, I still
instead
don't...
of forcing the ball to Romeo Doubs, with the outcome, we know what's going to happen. We've got it. I see it. I know what Romeo Doubs is capable of.
Why don't we just try it?
I think
just give it a shot.
I honestly just don't know if they have a guy outside of Tucker who. And I'm furiously just refreshing Twitter to see if we get an actual update from anybody during the show today. Like, outside of Tucker Kraft, I don't think they have anybody who can actually get open in red zone situations.
800-990-3776. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to get to you right on the other side of this one. Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text line and in the YouTube stream. If you want to be heard this morning, 800-990-3776.
Hey guys, if you feel like you're running on empty, Mantality Health is here to help. And what Mantality does is they focus on testosterone, specifically free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook. What are symptoms of low testosterone? That's easy. If you have low energy or motivation, fatigue, you're tired all the time, weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat, you feel anxious, moody, irritable, all signs of low testosterone. So go to Mantality, mantalityhealth.com/radio, book that first appointment. And then you go through a full physical consultation and blood panel during that first visit and find out if your testosterone levels are low. And then you can start working with Mantality on that customized testosterone treatment plan, and your energy comes roaring back, the belly fat burns off, the muscle strengthens, but maybe more importantly, you start feeling like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best for yourself and for your family. Again, the website, mantalityhealth.com/radio. That's mantalityhealth.com/radio to book an appointment today.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. On the second floor, you'll find the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails, Milwaukee's destination for bold flavors, fresh sushi, seasonal entrees, and cocktails crafted with care. Start your morning there for breakfast, go for lunch, or linger late into the evening with drinks designed to inspire. Flavors and drinks for every occasion, the studio is the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. Be boldly social at the Studio Kitchen and Cocktails now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
Yeah, that doesn't look good.
How do you overcome him?
It's going to be tough. It is what it, but it's football, and, you know, the other guys are going to have to step up.
Matt LaFleur on Tucker Kraft, who was the team leader in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns, and now will likely miss a significant portion of the season, if not the entire thing. Gabe is furiously refreshing his internet over there to see if there is an update on Tucker Kraft. Nothing yet.
Still nothing.
My guess is they know. I mean, you do that, Jen, you tore ACL. I mean, these doctors, when they do the wiggle test of your knee.
Yep, they know right away.
They know right away. Test? And the fact that he says it doesn't look good would lead me to believe that they already know.
I like wiggle test better.
You like what? Well, you're an
Josh,
MRI guy?
Well, Josh said, isn't that the compartment test? And I said, I like Chewy calling
is
it the wiggle
test. Is that what it's
called,
the compartment
better.
Test? I had no idea.
I could be wrong. I thought it was.
It's basically where they kind of pull,
from now on,
give
it's
it a
the
little
test.
Tension.
Yeah. Yes.
The quad / hamstring and then the lower part of the leg, and they're giving it that tension test to see. And if it's loose, they know right away that that ACL is gone. Derek in Lake Geneva has been waiting patiently on the line. Let's go out to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Good morning, Derek. What irritated you most about the loss?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for letting me on. You guys are lucky to have Josh. Guy makes great comments. I told him so. Real quick, what kind of made me irritated most was after the game, watching Howie Long make a comment about Jordan Love. Does this guy have a pulse? He's flatlined. And then he'd go on Packers.com and he watches after-game comments, and he watched LaFleur's after-game comments. They're completely different, 180, from the comments that McKinney, Josh Jacobs, and Micah Parsons make. You can tell when you listen to these guys, they're like, we didn't sign up for this BS. I mean, we got Micah Parsons because he has testosterone. I mean, Gabe, if you want to set up an appointment for Jordan Love and mentality, I'll pay the bill. I just don't see this guy being emotional enough. His after-game comments about next man up, all this stuff, it's milquetoast comments. I just can't take the fact that him and LaFleur are so lackadaisical about losing these games and the manner in which they lose them.
I don't think that Jordan Love is not bothered by losing these games. I also don't think you can ask Jordan Love to be someone he's not. Like, he is that even-keeled guy. He's not going to get too high. He's not going to get too low. And if you want him to be fired up after a loss, like, we know that's just not him at this point. And I understand how that bothers some people, that they would rather have the emotion be shown. I promise you, Jordan Love is frustrated with the way he played yesterday. I promise you that he's frustrated that the Packers lost that game. I don't think just because he doesn't show that emotion and isn't cussing at the podium that he's not bothered. It just, that's who he is. And if he starts showing that emotion, the guys around him are going to know that's fake, and that's not good for anybody either. Right? You yep. can't just fake who you are. Like, if that's who you are, that's fine. I mean, you do need emotional leaders on this team, but I mean, he just listed off a handful of guys that can be those emotional leaders.
So one of the biggest criticisms, and I mean this all relatively speaking, of Jordan Love was sort of that ability to kind of take over, whether it's a huddle, whether it's a meeting room, whether it's a, you know, we heard recently the story from Aaron Rodgers, you know, about having to sort of fine him if he was too quiet, because he knew what was going to be required of the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. He knew that there was a characteristic or an element that maybe Jordan needed to work on to get to that level. So maybe, you know, throw Aaron Rodgers a bone there, feather in his cap for saying this guy's going to be the leader of this team. He needs to work on a few of these areas. I'm going to do what I can to help facilitate that while I'm here.
I wonder what the players thought when LaFleur went for it on 4th and 8. Because there are times that you question the head coach. I mean, obviously you have to do what he tells you to do, but I wonder if the huddle was like, why are we doing this? Because that does happen.
True. The huddle is like, where did we line up? Because to make that thing even worse than it was, they had to burn a timeout. Because guys couldn't line up where they were supposed to line up.
Yeah, no.
Like, which would lead me to believe that, like, disaster.
And I'll automatically go back to the last play of Super Bowl 32. When Holmgren calls a play, we did not run one time all year long. And we were kind of like, what? You know, you run the play, but you look back and you're like, why don't we just run a – and that's what I mean by bread and butter. And drawing it up in the dirt, right?
Mm-hmm.
When your number is called in the red zone, you should love that stuff. You should love that stuff. And we all had our routes. Free had a route. It was called a shake route that he was unstoppable. And when that play got called in the huddles, you saw Free's eyes get nice and big. It's just, I don't know. It's like taking the last shot of a game in hoops, right? A lot of some guys don't want it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love it. I would get pissed off if they didn't call my number, you know, from the 10 end, because that was kind of my wheelhouse, you know. I just don't see that. Like, no one taking control. And I agree with you, Jen, because it's so easy to get a Christian Watson single covered on the outside, you know. And like Joshy, just run the damn thing. Let players be players. Trust your players, right? It doesn't always have to be the most perfect drawn-up play and stuff like that. Let guys go out and make plays, and I don't see that.
Sounds like you're saying, Chu, that maybe there's an overcomplification of this thing.
Yes,
that you can kind of just simplify it down. You know, and I'm not saying that the NFL, you can play run the same plays you're running at the high schools out on Friday nights.
Yeah.
But there is an idea of don't overcomplicate the offense. Don't overcomplicate what you want to get done out there. 800-990-3776. Let's go out to Mo in Jersey, and then we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Mo. What irritated you most about the loss yesterday to the Panthers?
That the fact that we keep doing the same thing. I mean, I've been saying it since September with the play calling. I mean, we downplay our opponents every day. And what frustrates me is after the game, LaFleur come in every – this is the third game. He did it with the Browns game. He did it with the Dallas game and now this game. He come in and say, oh, I shouldn't have made that play, or maybe that's not a good play calling. And then blame basically the players by saying we need to get our stuff together. But you're the coach. It's like every week we look unprepared. Even last week in Pittsburgh, the first half unprepared, then we came out the second half. It's the same thing over and over. And it's the same guy that a few weeks ago he went in the press conference and said he's not going to change the way he is. Like, I'm not going to go to one play each time. This is who he is. Like, we're not going nowhere as long as he has that mindset. I mean, at this point, Ed Policy has to come in and instruct to change play calling or what's going on here. It's the same thing every week. And it's been like this all season. It's the play calling. I mean, we talk about Jordan Love not having, y'all just said Jordan Love don't have that, you know, fire in him to go out there. But you did. If you look at that fourth inning, he was very frustrated. That's the first time I ever seen Jordan Love look like he was yelling at the players. That's why he called that timeout. So, again, like, it's the play calling that's just frustrating me with Matt LaFleur. You have to give up the play calling at this point. We're not going anywhere if he continue to call these plays. I mean, the jet sweep over and over and over. Like, what's the point? Like, it's just very frustrating, and I'm just tired of it at this point. And it's not going to change because he even said it's not going to change.
Appreciate the call, Mo. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.